Perfect. Welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast. What's up? What's up? I'm so happy to be back in the building. I'm going to let you do. You don't have to do that, huh?
No, you just did it.
Okay, well, anyway it goes. That, first of all, your intro seemed to be much more planned than mine. You know what I'm saying? It feels much more planned. Like you have an idea of what you're going to say. You see how fast I did the intro? All I did was speak.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say. Anyway, thanks a lot, TC, for offering me that great insight into your intro.
Man, I just pretty straight to the point. So we're going to talk about SmackDown. We're going to talk about Raw today. Before you go in and say anything else and throw me off, let's start with Friday night SmackDown on Fox. We open up the show. It turns out, like, Lars Sullivan came out there attacking folks, and then Jeff
skipped a lot.
Yeah. Don't matter.
Yes, it do matter. What are you talking about?
Look. I know all of the current rosters out there now, and Triple H and Stephanie, we're introducing all the new folks, saying how much we love you guys, and blah, 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 blah. But the important thing, the meat of the conversation is that we got the Jeff Hardy and Lars Sullivan match.
That was not the meat of the conversation. That part didn't. As a matter of fact, the whole point of my takeaway from this segment was how nothing that happened before that had anything to do with Jeff Hardy or Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? Nothing. You're talking about nothing. You're offering me nothing right now.
I was like, I was in the middle of saying something for real and like lost all train of thought. I really don't even remember how I lost all train of thought.
Thanks a lot. Again, for her contribution. Give her a pop. Thanks a lot. We're doing great so far on this start off.
What was I talking about?
But since you want to skip all the details of the segment and go straight into Lars Sullivan beat Jeff Hardy. Whoop-de-doo. Nah, whatever. Let's move on. If that's what we're going to do, then I guess that's the way I have to break it down because I got nothing to go off of here. Come on.
Then we had Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, and Big E coming out and giving an emotional promo about how they're no longer together because of the draft and reminiscing on all of the years that they spent, six years they spent together, and how much we love them. They didn't say this, but, you know, we love them and all of that good stuff. And then our resident spoilers, Shinsuke, the bar, just had to, like, rub our faces in dirt and take away from this good moment. This then prompts a six-man tag.
Yeah, well, the six-man tag was always going to happen. They just, for some reason, split them up to two different promo sections. You know, you got the baby faces, like you said, being emotional, talking about that, which, since I did not do a show during a lot of the massive moves of the draft, I haven't talked about it yet. So, as far as the New Day being split up, I don't really consider it a split. I assume they both sides will be still representing the New Day, although they are not together. But I do understand the sentiment. They are finally separate. And I think I was just kind of taken aback, honestly, by the amount of people, not the little kids and all that, but I was taken aback by the amount of people who seem to be hurt by that split up. It was surprising, especially when I see a lot of, not necessarily the same people, but a lot of people who wanted Big E to be alone. And if you wanted Big E to become champion and be alone, or kind of to break up the New Day, which I've also heard that being pitched, you shouldn't be hurt by this. You should be happy because now, you know, they're still like loving of like they still love each other, but they're also now Big E can do his singles thing. So, you know, whatever. But I understand, you know, why some people were emotional about it. They have been the most consistent and probably the saviors of the tag division for these 6 years. They were the only thing interesting there for a while besides, you know, before the Usos, along with the Usos and, like you said, the Bar and, you know, whatever heel team that the New Day was combating at the time. So, but they're still together. They're still world tag team champions now, Raw. And, you know, like we said, Big E, hopefully, now that he's done with Sheamus, hopefully they'll dismove him closer into the title picture. But, you know, do you think they're going to book Big E to beat Roman? That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't necessarily think that yet. And I definitely wouldn't be mad if it happened, though. So, I definitely want to let that be known. But as far as the six-man tag team match or the farewell match for the New Day went, it was a pretty like what you would expect from these guys. Like you said, the Bar and New Day, for example, just those five people by themselves have been involved heavily with each other over the years. So you know the chemistry is going to be there. And then Shinsuke is not only a great professional, just a great wrestler, but he's been gaining chemistry with Cesaro. So it was nice to see like some of the tandem moves with Cesaro kind of worked in tandem with both Shinsuke and Sheamus. It was really cool to see that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think predictably we all knew the New Day would come out the victors in that farewell match. And, you know, you mentioned Sheamus as one of the spoilers. He's been a main spoiler of, like, anything positive on SmackDown for a while. Well, when we talk about Raw, which he was also drafted to Raw, he's going to do basically the same thing. So, yeah. Just get ready for that.
Next up, we had the return of Daniel Bryan back to SmackDown. He came out. He talked about how he's like super excited to be back in action, super excited to have new competitors to face and some old people that we know he's faced, but he's just going to pretend like, you know, just because they're on SmackDown now, they're fresh blood. Then he snubs Seth. Seth gets a little upset, comes out, tells him how he's been snubbed, prompting a little exchange, a little, not a tiff, an exchange between the two. Seth, I don't know why Seth did this. Can you tell me why Seth did this, Monty?
Did what? Why did he come out there?
Yeah.
You just said it. He wasn't mentioned. He's an egomaniac, first of all.
But he knows that he has enemies.
Oh, well, I don't know. What are you talking about? The part where he asked Danny to help him?
No.
Okay, well, we haven't even got to that point.
No, yet. I was so talking about the fact that, you know, he thought that he had gotten rid of Ray and Dominic still came out because he's doing the same thing. You can't just attack people and not expect to get attacked.
Yeah, well, he's a heel, babe. They don't do things that make sense to anybody who want to be on the babyface side or understand what babyface is. Or, you know, they don't have to make sense. How about that? Heels do not have to make sense to you. That's literally the point of being a heel. But I will say that the part that you need to focus on from here is that, obviously, Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan will be involved. And that's the only thing that you really can be excited about, because the rehashing the Dominic stuff, that was just, we don't have anything for them to do this on their first week on SmackDown, so let's just remind people that they're here too. Same thing with
Buddy.
No, same thing with earlier in the show where they called out Aleister Black and Kevin Owens. Just letting you guys know that not only are they here on SmackDown, but they still have problems. So it's just, that's basically what this was. It established that maybe down the line you'll see Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, which, like I said, is something that you should be excited about. But as far as Seth Rollins thinking Daniel would help him or even thinking Buddy would help him, that made him look pretty stupid. I will say that for a fact, because if you don't know, everybody who's involved with this angle on Raw eventually came out except, you know, Aaliyah and Dominic's mother. But other than that, so I my takeaway from this segment was a major baiting switch. I was excited because I was like, okay, so finally we're gonna get something fresh for Seth. He's gonna target Daniel Bryan now for whatever reason. Great matches, cool. Then they kind of just played that music, reminding you that Ray and Dominic still wants him. And then Buddy comes out, and then he jumps on Seth. So you realize that just when you thought this angle was over, it's only, I guess, only at the like halfway point, I guess, or something maybe of being done. Who knows? But yeah. It's still continuing, so that sucks. I kind of hate that bait and switch. I feel like I've been asking for Seth Rollins to leave the stuff that have anything to do with the Mysterios alone for a long time, and they have not been listening. So it is what it is. We'll see. Hopefully they lean more towards the Daniel Bryan Seth Rollins stuff and a little less towards the Seth Rollins versus Mysterios and Murphy. But who knows? They left Murphy hanging with a handshake at the end, so I'm sure Dominik and Murphy at least will have some more interaction in the future. So,
yeah. Then we had just a little background. Last Monday, not this Monday that just passed, but the Monday before that, Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler pinned the then Raw Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits. So they are technically, I don't know when this started happening, it's kind of whenever they feel like it, entitled to a title shot for those championships. But lo and behold, tag champs got drafted to SmackDown. They become the SmackDown tag title holders. So they decided, let's just have the match on SmackDown, even though half of this situation isn't Dolph and Robert on Raw?
I think so. Either way it go, they still fall.
Yes. These past few weeks have been confusing because even though the draft happened, you still got people like fulfilling last minute duties to their prior brand. Nevertheless, Robert Roode, Dolph Ziggler face off with the now SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, and they lost.
Yeah, it was I don't even remember this match, to be honest with you.
It was short and in a DQ.
And before you knew it, they were ringing the bell. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very underwhelming. But I think that means that Roode and Ziggler are back on SmackDown. And the only reason why I say that is because I kind of remember Michael Cole or one of the commentators saying that this will just lay the foundation for a rivalry, a feud, or whatever to come. So I believe that means that they are going to be challenging Street Profits again. Do I have any of that guaranteed? No. Do I know whether or not Dolph and Bobby actually got moved to SmackDown? Not so sure. But based on that and based on the type of match we got, I'm going to say yes, we will see that match again, and this is only the beginning.
Okay. Then we had Sasha and Bayley's contract signing, which Bayley did not sign the contract for. So we have a continuation of will she, won't she?
Shout out to Sasha's stylist or husband. Maybe you said maybe that he makes those too. I don't know. Either way it goes, she be killing those outfits consistently.
Yeah, those gotta get props.
Weekly though, even before the. The turn, you know, when Bayley turned on her, you know, she was putting on her best foot forward as far as the outfits go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, got to give her a shout out there. Great promo here. It wasn't a predictable contract sign. I say they had more dialogue. And, you know, I think, honestly, at this point, you just get them in the ring. And I think that's the same thing they're trying to do. You know, just let them get in the ring and let them do what they do best. We know we all should expect magic. Sasha, so far and as far as Hell in the Cell go, has been pretty great in both times I think she was in it. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Bayley may have never been in it, but it was one thing we can expect her and Sasha to have good chemistry. And because no matter whenever they've ever been against each other in the past, it's been that way. Now I hope I'm not looking at it through rose colored glasses because of how perfect, you know, some of their matches were in the past. I hope that don't make me be harsh to this one. But yeah, they're usually pretty good with each other, and I just can't wait to get see them in the ring as far as their title match go. And I think this segment did a decent job getting you ready for that.
I agree. Lastly, we have Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship. Again, this is one of those they've been drafted elsewhere, but they're just like contractually fulfilling their duties to this other brand, which is fine. Totally fine.
And also, I think to a lesser extent, it's just about ratings. Let's just be honest. Putting on this title match on your season premiere, it's all about getting people to watch. So, anyway, with that being said, I will say that the match itself was predictable. It didn't really, it kind of reminds me of most of the Roman Braun Strowman matches, even though it had a lot of differences. Roman still felt kind of like a babyface fighting Braun at times, you know. But, towards the end was the true storytelling. You know, after I think the guillotine choked Braun Strowman out, I believe. And after that, Jey Uso comes down and Roman gives the chair shots to Braun Strowman's back, basically showing Jey that if I can do this to him, what do you think I'll do to you? This is how I feed the family, you know, whatever, whatever. So, yeah, you know, a lot of great storytelling here again. And I forgot the dynamic with what was said, but either way it go, Jey Uso, Roman turned his back on Jey.
He said, "If you love me, then you'll take the shot."
Right, right, whatever. I don't know if that's the direct quote. It's, I don't know. Either way it go, he turned his back to him and he left him the chair, and Jey Uso didn't hit him in the back of the chair. And Roman was like, "See, that's what I thought. You wouldn't hit me or whatever." And no, Uso would hit you. He just wouldn't hit you from behind. He got him in the face. Well, I think it was a punch, straight up hit to the face, then a super kick or whatever. Either way it goes, Uso paid for that. You know, he gave his two shots with the chair, and then for some reason everybody decided to hold Uso back and just set him up to get punched in the face again with another Superman punch. Poor Uso did such a great job, though. Great storytelling. You need to seek out any segment that they have had, you know, as far as this storyline goes. They've been doing a great job with that weekly, in my opinion. And I really like it. I really like the dynamic. I like the storytelling there. Now, after that, you know, Roman said he's done. That was his last chance. So Roman is going to, you know, stop trying to help, you know, his cousin. And I can only assume punishment is coming. So it's going to be great. I think they're going to do great in the Hell in the Cell. I think, once again, I don't see Uso winning. I don't think anyone can see Uso winning. But, again, I'm pretty sure it'll be very compelling. I'm pretty sure maybe even Uso could come close to overcoming. But I think we all know what's going to happen there. But either way it goes, it's still going to be compelling. And just like everything they've done so far is going to be really, really interesting. So I can't wait. I cannot wait to see what happens. And this was another pretty okay episode. As a matter of fact, I'm more up, and this is the way I'm going to grade these two shows right now, especially with the new roster. I will say this now before I even get into Raw. I'm a little bit more optimistic about what SmackDown will be having to offer instead of what Raw. And mostly because of a lot of stuff that was going on pre-draft. I thought their stories were better and more well done, than on Raw. And also, now with the trades and whatever, I see a little bit more promise in what SmackDown has going right now. But I don't know. Like TC mentioned earlier, they're very blended still. So who knows what's really to come. But as of right now, I'm looking more confident in what SmackDown has to offer. But it's time to see what... You know, there's no longer any underground here, but it's time to see what Raw has to do. So I think they're done with underground. They haven't explicitly said it, but a couple of things like what we're getting to, like for example, the guy with AJ Styles in his part makes me feel like Raw Underground is done. But anyway, on to Raw.
Yes, so the season premiere of WWE Raw kicked off with I don't want to say a bang. They changed their interest music or their theme song. That's a bit of a divisive topic at the current moment.
Yeah, you know, to the people who care about it, I guess. Yeah, you did. I skipped the intros anyway. So I didn't even notice the new song until I heard, until like Tom Phillips and Samoa Joe was talking and they had like a new instrumental playing in the background. So I didn't even know. But yes, I on to what you were saying.
Yes. So that happened. But we then go to the ring where Retribution is circling the Fiend. So the Fiend pops in, you know, with his new arm candy.
Really?
Sister Abigail.
Arm candy.
She's a doll.
I wouldn't say arm candy. That's one thing. She don't make arm candy faces or poses.
No, that's arm candy.
She's more just like, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't call her arm candy at all. Just but, someone who.
Okay, comparatively speaking. Comparatively speaking, like their interaction is like he like treasures her like she's like, you know.
Yes, I guess. Maybe, yeah. In the way the Fiend. If you consider that treasuring, yes.
Fair.
Because anyway, it kind of looked like he brainwashed her.
This is Stockholm Syndrome at its finest.
That's basic. That's really what it is. But if you want to say he cares, then yeah.
He cares. He has to care, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, Retribution tries to like do their Retribution thing. Doesn't work this time.
Which was very exciting, by the way. It was kind of cool to see these things interact. See that Retribution. You know, for a second, the way they were standing, I thought Retribution and the Fiend were going to join. But I was like, yeah, it don't make sense. The Fiend don't need that. He'll need a group of people. And he proved that later on in this segment. He don't need that. But not too long after that, the Hurt Business pulled up.
Yep.
You know, the Fiend disappeared, got out of there. I'm pretty sure everyone they've jumped wish they could just poof like the Fiend did. Right. The Fiend was out. But anyway, so they had a fight, and then that led into, like, the 8-man tag team match. Or I think it was 8, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 8.
8-man tag team match between the Hurt Business and, of course, Mace, Slapjack, yeah.
Mustafa.
T-Bar and Mustafa. So, that match was shorter. Or, you know what? I don't know. It wasn't shorter. It actually was okay. It okay in length, I guess. But it ended so abruptly for me. You know, Lashley putting T-Bar in the Hurt Lock or whatever and, you know, tapping him out. You know, full Nelson, full Lashley, whichever one you want. He finished him. Pretty easily, and I was just really surprised by that. I was like, are they really going to do this? And then I was even more surprised by what happened after the match when the Fiend basically destroys Retribution single-handedly and make Ali run. I don't know if he got his hands on Ali, but I'm sure I know he got his hands on Dio and everyone else. So either way it goes.
Mace.
Yeah. Anyway. I didn't know how to feel. I honestly did not know how to feel about what happened between I thought they were doing a really good job establishing them. Maybe if it was anyone else other than the Fiend, maybe I have more of a problem with it. But since I kind of it reminded me of kind of like how the Undertaker in the back in the day would take out whole groups of people at times, or you know, younger guys or whoever it was, just because he was the Undertaker. And it didn't necessarily bury anybody else. It just made you know, all right, you don't mess with the Undertaker. Same thing, I think, kind of applies here with the Fiend. I think that, you know, maybe you can look at it like, oh, he just buried the whole group. Yeah, kind of. Or you can look at it like, no, the Fiend should be like a one-man group because he's not a regular wrestler. He's not just some guy who you know, can beat up everyone. He is a mythical creature, kind of, who don't feel pain. So, it makes sense if you look at it through the lens of that. But if you look at it like, how did this one man just beat up this badass supposed to be group who was supposed to be the end of this company and they can't even handle the Fiend or that one guy? Especially when you look at it like, and then the Fiend lost the old dude. Ah. No, purge that. See, that's what I'm saying. You're not thinking right. You're thinking about, What happened? No, you supposed to purge that match from your memory. It never happened. He never lost to Goldberg.
Ever. Like Bray said later on in the night, the past is in our minds.
Exactly.
The future is in our hands.
Man, you remember word for word. But yes, that's my point. You know, purge that. Get that out of your head. That never happened. Oh, at least that's the way anybody who likes The Fiend should be thinking.
Never happened.
It never happened. But never happened.
That's what we're supposed to do.
That it was a decent opening. I saw a lot of people enjoying the way Raw started off. So I will say that much. But
not that song.
You know. But that's one. You saw one tweet. You saw one tweet saying they hate it. You saw another tweet about it and they like it. So that's not fair. About just to bury the song.
All you need is two tweets.
And you didn't get two. You only got one.
Exactly. All you need is two tweets about people's thoughts, and you can form that opinion for yourself. Two tweets.
So you're... No, that's... But you got two different thoughts.
I know. You got both sides of it. And then you pick the side.
You didn't even hear the song.
I heard a snippet.
Okay, I'm done. She didn't even hear the song. But whatever. Whatever, man. You're just bearing it because you don't like NL for whoever this guy is who raps.
Hey.
It's the only reason why you're bearing
it.
Not
going to come next. For me. No.
That'll come for you.
No.
NL fans, get on her.
I don't be on the internet anyway. Next, we got Matt Riddle. She's on there
enough to bury the NL song.
Yes.
She got no reason,
it's
though.
Soulless.
You don't know it. Do I need to go look up this song?
Nah.
Exactly. You don't know that.
Nah.
You just saying it.
Matt Riddle. Matthew Riddle.
Has a long way to go, according to Booker T, by the way.
That's what he said.
He tweeted that out last night. Better look next time, he also said. And I'm just like, you're so petty, Booker T. He said one thing about you like months ago. And he just is, Booker T don't care though, because I remember, this all reminds me back to Booker T being on commentary against Jason Jordan. When Booker T finds something he don't like about you, he is gonna nail it into people. He gonna talk about it. But anyway, that's besides
Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles with a Jordan.
You ain't gonna try to say my boy last night.
I had it. I was practicing it before we got here, and then I forgot. Beheen.
It's cool. It's cool. Just Jordan. Big Jordan. We got you. Come on.
Big Jordan O
for now, if you want to say that. We cool. We don't got to do that yet. They haven't even. As a matter of fact, he should be offended by the people he worked for, not us. Because they won't even try to say your name. They just kept saying, this rather large human.
No, this they rather, did.
This big person. They said it so many different ways without ever telling you his name. I did hear Tom Phillips say his name one time. The only time you saw his name was when they wrote it under the AJ Styles name with Jordan, you know, So that's what I'm saying. You get me mad at us. They don't even try to say your name. They just called you a large person. This rather large human being.
Like he ain't got a name.
This big guy.
Y'all know y'all actually helped come up with this name, right?
Oh my God. They had all types of ways to not call him this huge specimen.
No, they didn't. Oh my God. No,
they probably
didn't
say specimen, but still, they definitely used all the, this big guy, this huge, large human being.
He a Nigerian basketball player.
Tough. He better hoop. Let's go. He went to South Florida.
Yeah.
He probably that other big guy confused with Taco Fall. No offense. I confuse y'all. That don't mean nothing other than y'all both tall.
I take it very back. Tall. They didn't come up with his name. That's his.
That's
real
his
name.
Real name. They don't have a name. That's his real name. U.S. You South Florida. Yeah, it is him then. That is that guy I seen play once before. Yeah.
We'll move on.
That was a while ago, though.
So. AJ Styles
hope
won.
He's fine.
AJ Styles won.
Yes, if you didn't get by Booker T's petty tweet, AJ Styles did indeed win. And Matt Riddle indeed has a long way to go, according to. I just think it's funny, though. You can't tell me this is not petty, because Booker T, I don't know. I didn't follow everything Booker T tweets, but I just want to know, did he say the same thing when he beat AJ a few months ago?
Probably not.
Oh no, who knows?
He probably did.
Booker T is consistent.
You got a long way to go.
You still got a long way to go when you beat AJ.
Yeah, you got a long way. Even when
you got a long way to go, you lose. You got a long way to go. You beat him.
Now you just got a longer way to go when you lose.
Oh well, but yeah, that like you said, the match was what it was. AJ has established himself. Now I'm ready to see the dynamic. I want to know. You know, he definitely distracted Matt Riddle a couple of times in the match, but I want to know what is the extent. He's just going to be the Kevin Nash to AJ's Shawn Michaels. You know, like that's the common. You know, metaphor. I'm not saying anything. But I want to know. I want to know what comes of this. What happened? Is Jordan now ready to start beating people? I want to see. Man, they got some big guys now. Kato, Jordan, that's a big guy.
When Booker T say this kid, you know it ain't nothing but disrespect to follow.
This kid. I told you, he just sunny Matt Riddle. This kid has a lot to learn.
This kid still has a long way to go.
My boy, that was hilarious when I saw this kid. Matt Riddle has a long way to go. I just like you, so petty, Booker, but still funny.
That's why, and maybe true. Who knows? Booker be taking stuff to heart, and then you're like, nah, I ain't helping you. Anyway, then we had the Raw Women's Championship match. It was Asuka versus Lana. I have been seeing Lana all over the Instagrams, training very hard after her dastardly win.
You know what? Monday. I didn't even know that her and Natty broke up.
I didn't either. That's why.
That's how bad that pairing was. They worked together no time, achieved absolutely nothing, and Lana still went through her fifth table this week.
Nah. So. Like the messed up thing is Natty's still like giving her encouragement on Instagram with her training videos. She was like, "Good work." He was like, "Yeah, I'm just trying to be like the boat."
Poor Lana. Lana tries her best. Even in the match. That's the worst part about this. The match, Lana was doing okay. I didn't think she did anything wrong. She was okay. She lost predictably, like we all thought. I mean, we all know it would have been a legit riot if Asuka lost. Come on. And then second of all, Asuka couldn't even celebrate because they just had to run Nia out here to throw her through this table. What is their obsession? We're putting Lana through this table. I don't know. Look, but it's something that you can bet on throughout the week now.
Five weeks in a row. That's sad when we're talking about the fifth time. That means 5 weeks in a row we've seen Lana go through this table. Are you not tired of going through the table, man?
Well, she was very, like, she probably, you know, she said that was her dream. And they really wanted her to accomplish this dream because they hammered it home. Well, what's next?
Next, we've got the Fatal 4-Way because Nia and them came out, and now they opened up and they issued an open challenge that Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose initially accepted. And
they
then,
won.
And then we had Peyton Royce and
Lacey
Evans come out as a tag team. I've got thoughts on that. Hold on.
Forget them thoughts. You know what's bad about this is when that's the only thing people had something to say about this match. That's the only thing I saw. So go ahead, get your thoughts out, but I'm just saying.
Then the Riot Squad, who are now on SmackDown, came out to join and make that a complete Fatal 4-Way tag team match. Say what you gonna say?
I already said it.
Okay. Now, I thought when you break up a tag team that you don't just immediately pair them with someone else.
They not a tag team, though.
I thought that the women's tag team titles could be defended on all brands, so why not have all brands represented? SmackDown with the Riot Squad.
NXT not a brand.
Raw with Mandy and Dana. And then throw an NXT tag team up there so that all brands are represented. Instead of putting two single stars, especially based on their entrances, together and make them tag when they have no desire to tag. I would rather see Peyton Royce be mushed back up with Billie Kay, even though you don't want to go back and renege on your agreement that they will never tag again. I'd rather her just do nothing then go out there with Lacey Evans, because they do not have any chemistry. They have nothing in common. I do not want to see them as tag teams ever again.
They literally was playing up to it, though.
I know.
I was about to say, what are you talking about? They're not a team. Everybody who was tripping over that is crazy. They're not a team.
I know they're
obviously going to break up.
It's the disrespect that you
and they didn't even win, so they don't even got to break up now.
You take her from a functional tag team and try to give her a singles push and give her that singles. I want to see them facing
what
each other.
Push?
I said supposed to.
What's supposed to?
Supposed to.
Yeah. Like I said, I told you this earlier. It's just it's a famous case of splitting up a team and thinking you have something for someone, and then apparently you don't. You know, that's the only thing I can say. Because they seem to have something for Peyton Rush for a moment, and then apparently not.
Yep.
It's kind of the same thing they were doing the Iconics when they were together. So, you know, it was another stop and start push for the Iconics. I get it. It's frustrating. But, you know, Billy Kay is on SmackDown now. So, you know, who knows what's going to come of that, I think. And, I just didn't want to panic because I can tell in Lacey and Peyton's entrance that they weren't going to win that match, they just weren't. They're not going to be a team. They're just not going to be a team.
I saw it too, but still.
And I think they did that on purpose, so that's why I kind of like, okay. So they whatever, let it slide, I guess. This match is not important in the grand scheme. And then it made it more important. None of the team that threw out there even won, so. You know, it didn't make anyone move closer to getting the title shot. It was just, you know, utilizing to show that we have some sort of a tag team division, I guess. I guess that's the point of that. No, but anyway, it was what it was. It didn't really achieve much. But, you know, again, I guess if you like the champions, they definitely, survive.
Dominated.
You know, and they won the match, so. You know, I will say that I do not mind the dynamic between Shayna and Nia. And I think I've been saying that from the beginning. So
That's
one thing I will always say, that I don't mind their dynamic, because it's like you don't really get that side of it on a team where both people are dominating. Nia's gonna dominate in her own way in the ring, and Shayna style is just completely domination. So I like that. I do like that.
Moving on, we're going to just talk about this one in passing. Elias performed. Jeff Hardy crashed it. Apparently, Elias still doesn't understand that Jeff didn't run him over. I don't know how you could watch that and think that Jeff ran you over, Elias.
I don't know why we're talking about this in passing. That song went hard. Hey, man, shout out to Elias, man. That Amen song is hard. You sleep. Hallelujah. Amen. You sleep. That song hard. It's hard. It's hard.
Just isolate the background vocals and then put that out.
Nah, go check it out.
Take his verse off. It's hard. And just isolate the background vocals.
It's hard, bro. I'm telling y'all. Elias. WWE. Amen. Go buy the single.
It's not out till next Monday.
And then next Monday he'll be celebrating beating Jeff Hardy.
Oh, God. Moving forward, Kofi Kingston then took on Sheamus.
He beat Sheamus for the 100,000th time. Sheamus, quit. I promise you, can you do this? This is your new formula, huh? Beat the hell out of somebody for 15 minutes just to lose. Yeah. But anyway, I did like New Day calling him Ashy. There you go. That's what I will say. He's constantly Ashy. It's on purpose, but he's Ashy. I love Sheamus. I don't know what. I don't know if WWE does. Maybe they do. Maybe he does a good job of getting the baby faces over, if that's what you want. But so yeah, he's great. Yeah, of course, and that's why they're in the position they're in. I guess they're too good at that, at being the bad guys who's gonna go out there and get a great match out of you. But him and Kofi have done that same match, in my opinion, countless times. And there's no offense to nothing to them. It's just
still good,
you know. They're great.
Yo.
And it turned out pretty good, but
yo.
It's the same thing we've seen from Sheamus.
Yo, Bleacher Report said this was a fun match between two grizzled veterans.
They are. See, that's what I'm saying. That when you say that, when you phrase it like that, grizzled veterans, that's just me saying we probably saw this 3-4 years
yo,
ago.
Yo, what happened to
they veterans.
What happened to the grizzled young vets?
They're probably back in the UK. Doing this thing. You know they sent NXT UK back going.
That's true. We gotta look out for them. Anyway, Tucker issued a challenge to Miz and Morrison earlier in the night. Then he went to scour the globe and found a tag team partner for that match, El Gran Gordo.
Yep.
AKA Otis in a mask. And they defeat Miz and Morrison.
Predictably so, by the way. Let's just be honest. I kind of knew Otis and the crew would win from the moment Miz cut his very disrespectful promo. Scathing. Oh, no, I wasn't going to call it a scathing. It was just very disrespectful from the Miz. It's
so intense.
And he tried to go in his talking smack bag, but he's still a douche, so it didn't help. But, you know, it is what it is. From that moment on, I knew that the Miz was probably going to take the pin the way he did. And I think the meat or the crux that anything has to do with Otis right now is just, what are we doing with this briefcase? I am on the side of people who understood, who I saw like a great meme of how it was, and they had Edge holding up the briefcase and how it's going, and they had him in his lucha gear with the lunchbox briefcase. And I'm just, if you just look at those two pictures, we just have to admit the briefcase is a joke by comparison.
Yeah.
And I don't want to blame Otis because I don't think this is his fault. But WWE, for the first time in that briefcase, the briefcase's history, they've made it seem unimportant. And they, like, he does. I haven't seen him tease taking the belt off anyone since Braun Strowman was champion. And that's been a while now. So, yeah. And that was the beginning of the Braun Strowman reign, too. Like, so, yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough, and this is just another chapter in that. What the hell is going on with the briefcase holder? And is he ever going to even care about cashing in? Or they need to just go ahead and pull the trigger and let whoever they're going to let take it. And I don't even think it needs to be the Miz.
No.
It needs to be, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, with someone who, you know, it can be exciting to see, you know, them take it. But at the same time, you know, what do you do? That's where I'm at too with it. I don't know necessarily where they go and who that guy is that you put in that situation. Mm-hmm. Especially on SmackDown, because I don't think anybody deserves it over Roman right now that's over there. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. Same thing with Drew. You know, possibly Randy can take it, but like other than that, like who's at the top of Raw where you just, I would love to see this title run. I think that the two guys that you would love to see as champion are champion right now.
I agree.
So maybe other than Seth, I think, you know, some people may want Seth with the belt again.
Nah.
But even then, you know. Now, Seth may be a good, that's a great pick actually to weasel his way in there somehow. I don't know how, but Seth is a good pick. But anyway.
Now we go on to Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman is an asshole. I have no other words to say, but Braun Strowman is an asshole.
Wow. I actually thought Braun Strowman did something rather unique. No. Never seen a headbutt to the balls before, man. Shout out to Braun Strowman for the first low blow with your head. Pause. Literally, the first. I've never seen it. Never seen it before. I was impressed. I must say that.
There's a reason why you've never seen it.
Why?
Because it's just rude, man.
It's rude?
That's so rude.
This is wrestling.
Okay.
We got wrestlers whose last name is rude.
No, you can.
A couple of legends.
You can dick kick people.
Rick, Bobby.
You can give them the good forearm, but you do not headbutt someone in the groin.
Oh, come on.
Actually, we've seen people get headbutt to the groin. But this was different.
Exactly. It's not a diving headbutt. This was different. But anyway, it was cool. It was very cool.
I'm in the middle of trying to do a move, and then you just reach your neck up and
just straight. That's all. It was really just a. It was a straight up. It was nice, man. It was really nice.
No, it wasn't.
I was very impressed. You know, me being such a natural, real life heel. Oh yeah. That was a heel asm.
If you didn't notice, Braun Strowman low-blowed Keith Lee with his head and then gave him the big boot, 1, 2, 3. Keith Lee loses. Keith Lee loses to Braun Strowman.
Which, by the way, I also told you before that match, needed to happen. Braun Strowman needed that victory. He should be getting tired of having to lose to Roman to make the boss happy. So, yeah, go ahead and cheat Keith Lee. But Keith Lee?
I know records don't matter here, but I really need... Keith Lee got, what, 5, 6 no contests and, like, 2 losses and, like, 1 win?
Yeah, something like that. Actually, that's a good point. he hasn't won definitively since that big victory since against Randy, right? I don't know. Yeah. If he beat anybody. I don't know. But yeah, that's a good point. But after the match, Keith Lee, I know you was happy about this.
I was.
Gave Ron a dick kick back, right? You know what he I mean? Did. You know, gave him a dick kick.
He did, yeah.
And he warned him. The dragon. Keith Lee about to unleash the dragon.
Bro.
Nobody expected Keith Lee to do it.
I didn't expect him to say, "You a monster? I'm a dragon."
I don't know what he thought that proved. Like, but he about to unleash the dragon.
Oh, you got scales?
Yeah, yeah.
You got scales?
Brothers, hold me back.
Nah, don't hold him back. Please keep the dragon in.
Hey, it's a brand new day.
Keep.
No. Y'all, my. Hey.
Oh, my God. I thought this would be the edited version.
Supposed to be gonna make me
how is this?
I don't even really wanna. It was supposed to be, but it ain't. Yeah, bro, you hear me? Y'all gonna make Keith. Y'all don't really want him. Yo. Hey, Keith, you hear me?
Can you stop?
Hey, bro, you hear me?
Can you stop?
Okay, you too, people. Y'all ain't gonna hear none of that, but no, sorry. By the way, so that's my. All right, I'm done. All right, we got to move on. If you haven't noticed, ever since Keith Lee said that, I've just been waiting to get that out. I'm sorry for anybody who did not want to hear the Cisco of all people, get explicit. And I went to the one without the little E, and they still was like, no, you're going to hear this one. So, whatever. Anyway, go. Unleash the dragon. Keith Lee.
That word is not explicit.
Apparently not anymore.
It's pop culture now.
That's crazy. Anyway, on to the last and final moment of Raw.
Randy Orton comes out. He's sitting inside the cage. Now,
read to me what happened at the end of this, because I want to make sure that I saw the last thing, because it ended abruptly.
It says Drew McIntyre entered the cage, yes. And then the show faded to black.
Okay, so that okay, cool. So that wasn't just my stuff messing up. Because I was like, oh, so y'all going to hype me up just to cut it off? They did that on purpose. Cool, got you.
Yes, they hyped you up just to cut it off.
You know, and I'm be fair, I wasn't that hype because I can tell the way Drew was moving. Drew walked out there with like a minute left in the show. So it's like, oh, okay.
Listen to this analysis. It says, Bleacher Report, by the way, it may have been a bit anticlimactic.
It was.
For the go-home angle.
It was. I agree. Because, like, this the way Drew did it. Drew walked out there a minute. Like, first of all, if you like me and you watch on DVR, you know it's only a minute left in the show. First of all. So, nothing is probably going to happen here. No problem. Other than something quick. So, I was thinking maybe Drew would get in and kick him, or maybe we'd get a RKO or something like that. Fast. So nothing. They talked. They wasted time. Drew opened the door slow. Then he closed the door and said something to Randy just to pad the time even more. And then by the time he was getting ready to run in, it cut off. So, yes, it was very anticlimactic.
So, they're trying to, like, mess up my old school booking. So, if no one got over on this, I don't know who
you can't pick. You can't predict. Yeah, you can't just predict it off who won the last segment you've seen between them.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm picking Randy, even though I know this ain't the show. I kind of need him to win now. I've been betting on him for, like, four or five
months. The only reason why this isn't the show is because they've only confirmed four bleeping matches. So that's the only reason why
they got this whole shakeup going on, you know.
Well, that doesn't.
People got to settle in.
Whatever they could at least give us some card. Like, you don't have a card to predict. You got Bayley and Sasha, Drew, maybe. Drew Mack and
Randy,
Roman and Oof and I Quit Hassel. And what's up? Maybe I was wrong about four. I can only think of three off the top. It's something else, I'm sure. But anyway,
let me look.
The point. Oh yeah, Jeff and Elias. They just made that. They just challenged that one. So I think that's the fourth one.
Let me see.
But either way it goes, that's the reason why. It's not much to predict, man. Not much to predict at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff and Elias. Oh, these possible matches: Dominic versus Seth versus Murphy. Don't know why. Kevin versus Alistair.
That'll probably be made Friday. That actually makes sense. The triple threat, not so much. I don't know what they'll be fighting for. But yeah. But do you have any rumors?
Yeah, I got a couple. Let me hit these up. Cheesemade Corner. So, even though everyone has told Vincent Kennedy McMahon that we no longer want to see Goldberg, he decides that he could care less what anyone thinks about him using Goldberg. That's the story.
Okay.
He's going to use him again for the Royal Rumble and or WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, the only thing that just went through my head is "Hello, darkness, my old friend." So that's to show you what I feel about it. That's all I got to say about that.
Also, WWE attempted to file trademarks for several performers, including Mia Yim, Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, and Pete Dunne. But the trademark people rejected that and said, no, we want you to have written consent that these people are letting you trademark their names. Mia Yim then goes and trademarks her own name. So I know for a fact that she is not giving consent for them to
trademark her name. Right, that's her name. What the fuck you got to do to me?
Exactly. So, no, you're not finna.
And shout out to Pete Dunne also. He ripped. I don't know what he did. You know, whatever.
Plants.
That don't tell me nothing. Plants. That don't tell me anything.
Vegetables.
Oh, so that's all he did. He just ate vegetables.
Bro, I don't know. Okay, I told you. That's my point. I told you people say that they're fasting. And
that also helps. That also does nothing for me.
Next thing you know,
Pete Dunne don't look like he fast. He got bigger. He didn't get smaller.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair. He got more cut. You could fast and get more cut. Yeah. They want Big E to be more serious. That's all I got.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they'll I'm pretty sure that's up to y'all.
Big E said he's not going to be serious.
He did that before. That's what he said. Yeah. So I'm saying if they want him to be some type of way, they need to do it differently. That's going to be on them is my point. Because Big E, in my opinion, can make the best out of whatever you give him. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, they got to actually give him something. The reason why his first serious run didn't work is because they gave him nothing. He got the Intercontinental title and he just go out there and just be Big E. Not even this Big E, the Big E we know and love now, right? Just go out there and just look just angry frown. And do that. Yeah, that's just it. Frown. And flex because you was a power lifter. That's about it. That's the only thing they did with the original Big E. So if they actually make this, like for example, Roman Reigns got so much going for him right now, and it's not just because he's serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Roman has always kind of been looked at as somebody who's serious. But now is to a different level when you actually give him something.
That's true.
Give him something to sink his teeth into story-wise. So then you can get it over as, okay, now Roman ain't really ain't. We knew you shouldn't mess with Roman when he was babyface, but now it's like you don't F with the tribal chief.
Oh, no.
At all.
No.
And that's because of the story he's in. Yeah, so they got to actually give Big E something to do.
Yeah, and if they want to take it makes him serious, somebody got to be food for fodder. So somebody
yeah, it got to make sense. Destroyed. It just have to make sense. Exactly. Simple as that.
That's all I've got. Cheesemade
Corner. All right. Well, I just want to thank Cisco, everybody else.
Whoever owns that song.
I'm pretty sure he, I'm just going to say Unleash the Dragon, the album. Go listen to it if you haven't. It came out 20 bleeping years ago. So 2G. That should just let you guys know where I am in my life.
2G.
I'm old, or at least I feel old, even though I was only like 5 when it came out, so. There you go. But I was still, you know, I was ready to unleash. You already know.
I was 3.
Shout out to Keith Lee. Unleash that dragon, big brother. And you ready? We ready to exit out of here? Yeah. I don't got no music to play. I was going to play some, but I ain't got nothing. So
we'll see you Thursday.
Yes, we will. Thank you, guys.